All right. How many today want to grow in wisdom? Are you ready to grow in wisdom? Come on now. How many want to be wise? I'm telling you, you are getting some really good teaching. If I say so myself, you're getting some really good teaching over the last several weeks as we're dropping down wisdom and truth, knowledge to you. I'm telling you, those who will learn and apply and walk in this wisdom, it's going to save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. Now, come here a second, Gobble. I got to do something real fast. He didn't know I was going to do this. Come here, Gobble, come here real fast. I want to tell you something. Now, last week, I talked about growing wise in your words. How many remember last week's sermon? How many, using our words in a wise way. How many know that we all need to learn how to use our words in a wise way? Now, this week, you didn't know. Now, I preached a message last week on learning to use your words in a wise way. And this week, Gobble, of course, many of you may not know this, but Gobble does a lot of hiring for the corporation that he works for. And they had someone call and ask about hiring, and they were asking about the hours they had to work, and they were asking the information about the job, and he's doing his job by answering this. And all of a sudden, because he didn't have the answers this guy was looking for, he was asking questions that didn't pertain to Gobble's department, this guy got very hostile and began to say some very hurtful and racial things. He could tell by your accent that maybe you're Italian, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he could tell by your accent that you're Hispanic, and this guy began to spur out some hateful things and racial things, and Gobble was kind of taken back by it. And then later on, he felt the Holy Spirit check his heart, and you called this guy back up on the phone, right? And he said, I don't know what you're going through, but I almost want to bless you. And he blessed him. How did that make you feel when you pronounced a blessing to somebody who had just been that mean to you?
I think as human being, probably it's kind of one of those hardest things, especially since you're offering somebody a job and then you're being called whatever, the funniest thing, or like my reaction was, as he was like, because he was even asking me it's okay if you're not going to give me the job, but I'm going to call immigration to show up at your place and make sure that you're legal. You know, and he kept talking and talking and talking. I was like, I bless you. I bless you. God bless you. And he for a moment, he just stopped talking, and then I thought I was like, okay, bring immigration. I'm legal. I mean, they not send me back.
They're not taking it back. I got a hold of this guy right here. It ain't going back. But I was just so proud of him. How many know that every day we can learn to walk with the wise? I'm proud of you. You handled that in a godly way, in a wise way. And it was just amazing. He's like, man, Pastor Gene, you just taught me that this week. And then I had to walk through that a few days later. I'm telling you, the things we're talking about are things that are our everyday life, wisdom. We need to raise our wisdom. We don't have to make the same mistakes over and over again, but we can grow in wisdom. And I believe God's people should be the wisest people to walk the earth. How many believe that? Do you believe that? God has a wisdom for you. Now, today, I want to talk to you about how to make wise decisions. How many have ever made dumb decisions in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, all of us here have made dumb decisions in our life. But there is a wisdom that is for you and I. And if we will tune into it, understand there's a godly wisdom and how we make decisions in our life, it can save us a lot of trouble. It can save us a lot of pain. So today, I'm speaking to everybody. But man, if you're a young adult here today, or you're getting ready to get married, or newlywed, listen, take good notes. And if you've been married for a while, you better take good notes as well. Because we can all learn how to make and apply godly wisdom to how we make our decisions in our life. The wise understand that God has a plan for my life. If you don't know that, you got to know that. And wise people understand this principle, that God has a plan for my life. He has a plan, and I've got to learn to follow that plan. But let me tell you, that plan is not always easy. It's not always easy following out the plan that God wants for me. Oftentimes, it's set up with a lot of challenges. There's a lot of challenges facing us. And why is it? Does God allow me to go through difficult seasons or challenging seasons? Is that He's trying to grow me. He's trying to change some things about my character. He's trying to sustain me. He's trying to prepare me for the next season He has for my life. But if I don't learn how to grow and walk in this season of challenge, I'll never walk in the season of blessing that He's wanting to bring to my life. So the wise understand it. God, you've got a plan. I got to make wise decisions. And I can learn to make these decisions according to God's plan. The best way to follow God's plan is to learn to hear his voice. The Bible says that God is the great shepherd, and the sheep hear and know his voice. And I want to make it very clear to you today, if you're a Christian, you can hear for yourself. You can hear and learn to develop how to hear the voice of God. You can learn how to hear the still, small voice that God is leading your heart, leading your spirit, leading you and making wise decisions in our life. How many remember the movie that came out the first of the year called Bird Box, a Netflix movie? Anybody watch that movie? Everybody was talking about it. Remember it the first of the year? It was this great movie for Netflix. It was really good. And, you know, the whole premise of this movie is there's this virus out there, and if your eyes see this virus, then you become this kind of like zombie type of thing that ends up dying and killing yourself. And so people who survived it had to learn to cover their eyes. There was only one problem. So they would cover up their windows, and there was nothing come in from the outside. But then, of course, they run out of food, and they figured out that we all had to get to shelter somewhere. And they all heard about a safe place to get there, but it included travel to get there. So how do you get there? So they had to blindfold themselves and learn how to follow what they were hearing. And so we had to go upstream so far to get to where we need to go. So we had to follow the stream. Let's hear the stream. Let's follow. We could hear things that were coming. We could hear. And so this whole thing was done not by sight, but by what you hear. And I think it's really the same way for our own life, is that mature, wise Christians realize that I can't always go by what I see. How many know my eyes will lie to me? My eyes will deceive me. My eyes will confuse me at times. I've got to learn, the wise know to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. The wise understand that God is leading me, God is directing me, and God will direct my path. God will lead me into all truths. God will lead me if I'll just listen. And I can't always go by what I see, because what I see oftentimes will lie to me. It will deceive me. Our life is the sum results of all the choices we have made. Our life is the sum result of all the choices we have made. Some good, some bad, but we are where we are by the choices we have made. So if we want to be in a better place, then we need to start making better choices, better decisions. The more better decisions I begin to lay in my life, the better my life becomes. The easier I begin to follow into God's will, the easier my life becomes. The more I make bad choices, the harder it's going to be. The more I'm going to learn from the school of hard knocks and hard things of life. And so the wise person says, I want to rise above that. I want to learn to hear the voice of God and his direction in my life. The good news is this, is that even though sometimes we can get off track, we can get off from maybe the will where God wants us to be, because of God's grace, when we submit to his lordship, he can bring us right back on track. He can take my wrong track and bring me right back where I need to be. That's God's grace. That's God's love for our life. And he will do that for his children who are submitting to him, who are trusting him, who are leaning on him. The problem with that plan is this, though. That plan is filled with a lot of heartache. There's a lot of heartache in that plan, because I'm going my own way, and I've got to go through the struggle oftentimes to get back into the place I need to be. Oftentimes, I have to go through a lot of pain to realize, ooh, I've gotten way off track here. I got to get back on track to where God wants me to be. That plan, it will work. But man, that plan hurts. That plan has a lot of heartache there. And so the wise learn to say, God, I gotta follow you at all areas of my life. In every area of my life, I've gotta learn to hear you, follow you, and trust you. So what is there a better way? Is there a better way? Yes, there is. There is a plan that God has that we can use for every decision we make in our life. Let's read our text today in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. There's a noble concept in it. Hey, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And so, man, this whole scripture right here, what a powerful verse when it comes to making decisions in our life. The first thing I do when I make a decision is I learn to trust the Lord. I don't depend on my own understanding. Let me put it a different way. Trust the Lord. Don't depend on just what Google says. Trust the Lord. Just don't depend on what you watched on YouTube. There becomes a time where gathering information is a wise thing to do, but I can't trust only on the information I get. I've got to realize that I've got to trust the Lord. I can't stand. That's what it says. Lean on, depend, to stand on just my information alone. What do? I trust God. God, I'm not going to stand just on my information. I'm going to lean on you. Where do you want me to go? And then I seek his will. God, what is your will? God, I'm seeking your will. What is your direction in all that we do? And then he will make the path clear for me to take. He will show me where I need to go. So I trust on God. I don't stand just on my information alone. Nothing wrong with getting information. The wise people search out information. But I can't depend on just what I know, because my mind is limited to the day. You see, there's a different thing. If Pastor Mike and I say, hey, Pastor Mike, Gene, let's head up to Silver Dollar City today after church. I say, man, go right ahead of me. Let's go. Man, get me a turkey leg. We're going to go. We're going to get some food. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get a funnel cake. All right, let's go. I'm there. And so he takes his family and he leaves, and he's about 30 minutes ahead of me. And I lock up at church and start heading that way. And I get about 45 minutes down the road, and Mike calls me and says, hey, Pastor Gene, you don't want to take the James River bypass. There's been a truck that's overturned there, and traffic's been backed up here. We've been waiting in line for 45 minutes to get through. So you're better off just taking the other loop and going the other way. Now, today, this is kind of the way it works in our life. Could I see ahead of time that there was going to be a wreck up at James River Expressway? I wouldn't have known that until I got there, right? Because my vision is limited to only so far. But Pastor Mike, because he was way ahead of me, he was able to see into the future and help me avoid an accident, help me avoid a traffic jam, and show me a better way to go. Even though that way was a little bit longer than the original way, it was going to save me much time. He knows that I'm an impatient guy, and I don't do well waiting in traffic. And so he was able to take me and show me a better way to go. See, this is the way it is in our life. If we depend on our own understanding, I'm depending on just what I can see. But when we depend on God's understanding, we're depending on the one who knows the past, who knows the present, and who knows my future. This is the awesome thing. Who do you want giving you advice? Only what you can see, or someone who's already seen the past, the present, and the future? And he doesn't do things just what is going on today. He's making plans for things for our future. He sees 5, 10, 20 years down the road, and he's like, listen, I've got a different path for you to take. You don't fully understand why I'm taking you this way. You don't fully understand why I'm making you go this way. It doesn't make sense to you by your natural eyes, but in the future, you're going to understand. And now, looking back, I can say, God, thank you for every obstacle in my way. God, thank you for taking me different paths. I remember one time I was offered a chance to be a youth pastor early on in my ministry, my wife and I's ministry. We were just working as volunteers. And someone had called me up, and they wanted to come down, and they offered me a job that was a very lucrative job. It was a very big church. It had everything you could ever wanted, man, for a youth facility, full gymnasium, full youth auditorium. I mean, this church was rocking with all kinds of facilities. And on paper, it looked great. On salary, it looked great. And my wife and I went down, and we said, yes, Lord, we hear you loud and clear. And we put a deposit down on a house. We were moving to Indiana. And then later on, I began to say, God, I'm feeling checked in my heart. God, I don't feel like this right thing. God, I'm feeling it, but man, it looks, my own eyes, I wanted it. In my own eyes, I wanted to do it. In my own eyes, I wanted to go there. But I just felt checked in my heart. And I remember one time I was struggling in my heart. And I didn't want to admit it. And then I woke up in the middle of the night one night. And man, I had a bloody nose. And I never get a bloody nose. But I remember waking up, choking on a bloody nose. It was really gross. And my wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, but we can't go. We can't go. She goes, I knew it too. I just didn't want to say anything. We were both hearing the voice of God, but because of what we saw, we were afraid to admit it. And if I had went up there, within about 8 to 10 months, I'd been right in the middle of a train wreck that happened later on. That whole church went crazy, and I was just glad I wasn't in the middle of all that, removing my family, all that. God was trying to do something to save me some hardship. God was trying to save me and prepare me for something different along the road. I couldn't see it, but now I see it. Now I understand it. You see, in our life, we can't always depend on what we see. We got to hear and trust that the Lord is leading us and guiding us. We got to trust. We got to trust. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, and then He will make the path clear to us. So let me give you 4 ways today that we can test the test of wisdom, using wise ways to test the decisions we're making and if they line up to God's word. Number one, the fear or faith test. Am I making a decision in fear? Or am I making a decision in faith? Am I making a decision led by fear? Or am I making a decision led by faith? You see, when we make decisions in our life, fear mode will pop up. Anytime it's a new decision, fear mode will pop up, and then fear begins to speak to us. Fear will tell you. I remember when we were starting the church here at Destiny, man, I was wanting to plant a church. And I began to think about it. At that time, I was like, all right, we had a pretty good reputation. We had some big churches that were calling us, that were opening up around the country. And they were like, hey, we want you to come and move to our district. We got some churches open up. We'd love to give you. And man, they sounded really nice, you know? And I was like, yeah, but I know, God, you're calling me to plant and start from nothing. I know you want me to do that. But fear began to pop up. And when I listened to fear, fear said this: what if nobody shows up? Said, you know what? Right now, you got a pretty good reputation, but if that thing falls and flops, ain't nobody gonna want you to pastor them. Your phone will not be ringing at that point. Things, the offers are gonna stop. What if everybody looks at you and like, oh, man? You know, and fear could very easily take over. And I realized that, right? That's just fear speaking. I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm seeking His way. God, I know you're asking me to do this. I don't know how it's going to get there. I don't know exactly, but I know this, that God, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to begin to take steps of faith. And as I take one step of faith, I know you'll open the door to the second step. And I know you'll do this. And that's what happens. You know, but when fear gets a hold of you, fear will prophesy to you just like faith will. Fear will prophesy you're going to fall, you're going to fail, you're not going to make it, people are going to laugh at you, you're going to be embarrassed, blah, 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 all these things. But see, when you put faith in God, you know this, that all things work together for good for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And I know that God has the plans in His heart for me to succeed. And God is calling me to step out in faith. And if I'll just step out in faith, I may not have all the answers, but my faith is in the One who does have all the answers. And He will lead me, He will guide me, He will direct me, and He'll open up the doors as they need to be opened up. That's operating in faith versus operating in fear. Listen, it's natural that fear would try to come and talk to you. But as a person, as a Christian, you can't let fear be the voice that's talking to you. You got to say, God, I want to learn to hear the faith. I want to learn to operate in faith. I want to learn to hear the voice of God. God, is this you or is this not you? God, I want to take steps of faith. So it's the example here of fear versus faith. Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith, right? Let's say it together. And it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So if we look at this verse, we know this, that anytime I operate in faith, I please the Lord. Anytime I operate in faith, I please the Lord. And he rewards those who seek him. So this is the great news, okay? This is the great news right here. I may not understand completely which path to take, but if I'm doing it submitted to the Lord, God, I'm taking a step of faith, even if I begin to take the wrong path, God is pleased that I stepped out in faith and trusting him. By his grace, he's going to take me and he'll steer me right back to the path he wants me by me stepping out in faith. That's God's grace. That's what happens. We please the Lord. And even if I just begin to step out and say, God, I want to be a man or a woman who is living by faith, who's taking steps of faith. I want to be a person who's stepping out in faith. I please the Lord. And he rewards those who seek him. Trust the Lord. Seek him in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Without faith, I step out in faith, I please the Lord. Why? Because he rewards those who are seeking him. I'm telling you, this is not rocket science. This is just simply saying, God, I'm learning to hear your voice. I'm learning to trust you and take steps of faith. God, you will seek, if I seek your will, if I seek your will. So how do I do that? How do I please the Lord? I operate in faith. I go to God first. I go to God first. Listen to me. I go to God first. I don't go to YouTube first. I go to God first. I don't go to Google first. I go to God first. Are you hearing me? I don't go look up what the salary is first. I go to God first. I don't go around saying, yes, I'm going to make. No, I go to God first. I go to God first. I go to God first. This is how we operate in faith. And number two, the will and way test. Learning to say, after I submit to faith, now, God, I want your will and your way. God, I want your will and I want your way. Now, look at this. I made a little chart for you here. This is a really good resource for us to use when we're making important decisions in our life. We have our values. Our values are what? Our values are the things, it's the core beliefs that we have, the things we hold dear. For me, one of my values is I want to spend time with my children when they were young. I wanted to make sure that I was present in their life. I wasn't so busy pastoring that I couldn't be present in their life. I wasn't going to win the world and lose my kids. And so that was a value to me. And it was a value that I raised them up in a place, a community I felt like that they could grow and nurture in. And so that was a value to me. I wasn't enticed to go to another city somewhere else. If God had called me, I would have said yes, but it wasn't a value. So I wasn't just looking for that. You understand what I'm saying? My value system, I had it right there. My values. Does the decision match up with my values? Does my plan match up with my values? What about my vision? God, what's the vision you've given me for my life? God, what's the vision? My vision is I want to be a world changer. I want to help people. I want to be a person who makes disciples. I want to be a person who's helping show the love of God to others. What's the vision for your life? Does it fit in your values? Does it fit in your vision? And then once that happens, does it fit in your resources? Let me put it to you this way. Here's a good way. All right. We're trying to make a major purchase in our life. We're trying to decide, should we make this major purchase or should we not? Let's pray about it, honey. Let's talk about it. Let's look at it. All right, this is match our values. Well, what do you mean? Well, if I have to go out and get two car payments now instead of one car payment, can I do that on our present budget? No, I'm going to probably get another job working on the weekends to help cover that cost. Well, if I do that, that means I'm not going to have the family time that I have always had before. And so it takes me away from my values. It's not, listen, it takes me away. And it's going to take me out of church now. I'm having to work instead of be at church. And now it's not lining up to the vision that God has for my life. I know my vision is, as for me and my house, man, we're going to be serving God. We're going to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to put God first as much as possible. And so does it line up with my values? Does it line up with my vision? Does it line up with my resources? If I can answer those things, yes, it matches my values. It matches the vision God's given for me. and we can do it, then all right, then go for it. This is a matchup. See, you see what I'm saying today? You got to use wisdom. It's a matchup with your values. It's a matchup with the vision God's given you. It's a matchup with the resources God's given you. Sometimes the values are there, the vision's there, and the resources aren't completely there. And so what do? I just go as far as I can. I take step A. Now, for me to get to the end of this plan, God, you're going to have to do a major work. God, you're going to do something. But I'm going to take the first step and do what I can do now, and then the rest is in your hands. God, I've trusted you. I've stepped out in faith, and I'm going to minister to people right now where I can, and I'm going to leave the rest into your hands until you bring the other resources, until you open the other doors. I'm going to praise you right here. I'm going to serve you right here. It's a way of using a place. Is it God's will? Is it God's way? Number three, the wise counsel. We need wise counsel, don't we? I mean, Proverbs 15:22, look what it says. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So God's plan is, first of all, I trust in God first. God, is this your plan? God, is this your will? I'm doing that first. I'm seeking you first. God, does it fit within the values and the vision you set for our life? And then once I do that, what happens? Then I've got to go out and I've got to get the counsel that I need. Get the counsel. Let me put it to you this way. We need wise counsel, not dumb counsel. How many's ever received some dumb counsel? You know what I'm talking about, right? What do you mean some dumb counsel? Well, let me just put it to you this way. How about this? If you want to get counsel for your marriage, talk to somebody who's been married through 20 plus years, who's been married to the same person for 20 plus years. Don't get counsel for somebody who's divorced on how to manage your marriage. Go to somebody who's made it for a long time and say, listen, hey, how did you make it? If you've been married over 20 years, raise your hand right now. If you've been married over 20 years, same person, raise your hand. Listen, there's a lot of counsel right here around you. Go to them and ask them, man, how did you make it? You know what they're going to tell you? It was tough. It was hard. And it was difficult. It wasn't easy. It was tough. And I want to know, how did you make it through the tough season? How did you make it through the challenging season? That's wise counsel. Go to people who've been there. Listen, don't get advice on how to raise teenagers if that person never had a teenager. God knows the truth. Come on now. Don't get advice from someone how to raise a teenager if they never had a teenager. I mean, everybody's an expert until you have a teenager, right? Teenagers will make you lose your mind. They will make you lose everything you thought you knew and everything you thought you was going to discipline, everything you planned you had. Just throw it out the window right now because you're just going to have to wing it as you go many times. I'm telling you. Why? And I want to get with people who's already been there. How did you survive your teenage years? How did you produce some good teens? How'd you handle when you had a challenging season with one of your teens? What'd you do? I want to find out. So I want to get counsel from wise people. And I want to get counsel from people with the same vision and same values I have. See, this is a mistake. We go get counsel from people and their values don't match my values. Their vision doesn't match my vision. And therefore, they're giving me a word that doesn't apply to my life because it doesn't apply to their life. And so I got to ask people who have the same value. How did you keep your family first? How did you survive the teenage years? How did you keep your kids in church? How was you able to do that? I mean, we got to go and ask and ask people. Get wise counsel. Get wise counsel. You want to start a business again? Go get wise counsel for somebody who's had success in starting their own business. Ask them, how did you do it? How'd you come through? What was your hardest parts? I want to get wise counsel. And if I hear that wise kid and talking, all right, they're saying this is what you got to do. You're like, yeah, but if I do that, then I can't be giving quality time. It goes against my values. So I got to understand. See what I'm saying? Is it matching my values? Maybe that person's already at a different season in their life. Maybe they're in a season where their kids are grown. They can give a lot more to the business and travel a lot more and do things. They're at a different season. But I want to talk to somebody who's been through a hard season. How'd you make it? How'd you make it? How'd you succeed? What went on? There is counsel. Listen, how much counsel do we have when we never take advantage of it? I guarantee you, of all the people who raised their hands when I asked you, 95% of them would love to sit down and talk to anybody who asked for help. They would love to say, hey, yeah, I'd love to help you. I'd love to tell you anything. I'd love to tell you, man, we had some hard struggles. But, man, through God's help, we made it. And this is some of the things we did that helped us get through this hurdle. Wise counsel. The wise counsel. Get wise counsel. Come on, turn your neighbor. Get wise counsel, not dumb counsel. And the fourth, the last test, is the personal preference. Personal preference. Jeremiah 29:11. God, listen, if you don't know this, know this. God has plans for you. God goes, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. If you don't know this, God has good plans for your life. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. And I'm not talking about a prosper. Listen, I just want to tell you, this is not a prosperity teaching. What I'm saying is this. God wants to give you good things in your life. God wants to bring joy to your life. Look at this next verse. Look what it says. It says this in Psalms 84:11-12. The Lord will hold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek him in all your ways. Then what happens? Man, God's gonna bring good things. Even if I'm taking the wrong path, God's going to work it out for good, and God's going to bring me back to where I need to be. I'm learning to hear his voice, learning to be led by his voice, learning to lean on him. As the musicians come, I want to give you this last thing today. It's important to remember this. Anytime you want to know if it's God's will, get wise counsel, use faith. But look at this. God's will never contradict his word. Are you hearing me today? God's will never contradict his word. So if you think God, I don't know if this is God's will, if it's not, if it goes against God's word, it's not his will. Are you hearing me? Let me say this another way. God's not going to rewrite scripture for you and I, okay? He's already made it. He said, this is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is for today. And he will, if I want to know if it's God's will, if it goes against his word, then I know it's not his will. I don't know. Times are changing. It doesn't change. God's will never contradict his word. I want you to make wise decisions in your life. How many today say, Pastor, I want to learn to make wise decisions? Is that you? Yeah, come on now. Are you ready to make wise decisions? We can be so much wiser if we'll learn to first seek him first. Listen to him first. Seek him first. Listen to him first. Trust in the Lord in all of our ways. He's going to direct our paths. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the question today. Wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. All wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. Have you ever made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And today, if you haven't made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, what does that mean? That means I submit my life to Jesus. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I'm ready today to submit my life to Jesus. Not only because I want to make heaven my home, but I want to learn to live in the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. The Bible says you got to believe he is the Savior, then you must confess it with your mouth. So today, if you're here, we won't do anything to single you out. We won't do anything to embarrass you, I promise you. I want to make sure you have a chance today to receive Jesus Christ. Where you're sitting today, if no one looking but me, raise your hands and say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus in my seat where I'm at today. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today? That's you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. We got hands going up across the auditorium today. This is the start of all wisdom, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to do. We had those who raised their hands. So if you raised your hand today, I want you to repeat this prayer out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. All of my life. belongs to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Put your hands together. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to invite you to stop by our hub in the back when we leave today. We got a free Bible for you. We're going to be talking here in the next few weeks. We got a water baptism coming up as well. So, man, if you accepted Jesus Christ anytime recently, man, we want you to get water baptized. We'll be talking about that more here coming up in the near future. How many today say, I want to grow in wisdom. I want to grow in my decision making. Stand on your feet today. Come on. Across the auditorium. Let's make it personal. God, we want to grow in wisdom. God, we want to make better decisions, leaning on you. Everything. Come on. God will do it again in our life. Let's sing it to him. Let's declare it to him. Lord, that you are raising up people of wisdom. Lord, I pray right now, the Father, we would learn to lean on you. To lean on you, God, and to seek your way first. God, I pray for the person who's been stressing and letting fear dominate. God, I pray right now that the spirit of faith would rise up. And God, they begin to trust you and lean on you. Father, in Jesus' name. God, I pray for an impartation of supernatural wisdom by the Holy Spirit. God, open our ears to hear. God, open our ears to hear the Holy Spirit every day in our life as we submit and seek you and trust you. God, you're doing something this morning. Somebody's getting a breakthrough in your life right now. I feel that right now in the Spirit of God. Lift both hands at you today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray right now that the spirit of fear be broken off in Jesus' name. And God, you are releasing fear in Jesus' name. God, there's a new trust that's being built today. God, new trust, new faith being built up. God, we are free in you, free to hear your voice. May you direct all of our path. Father, in Jesus' name we say amen and amen. Put your hands together. You got a shout of praise. Come on now, give him a shout of praise. Woo! God is good, amen. Man, I love you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Give someone a high five and say, it was good to be with you today. God bless you.